desire and interest in your prayers today. You know, we're not normally here real long. We're usually here and out by around noon. And it's my prayer this morning that the little bit of time that we're here together, that we are able to draw our minds in and allow the Lord to speak to us through the inspiration of His Holy Spirit. I desire your prayers today for me, that I would be able to be a vessel, an empty vessel, that the Lord is able to fill this morning. In these next few minutes, I feel a sense of urgency of my need for the Lord right now, because I'm here right now. So I desire your prayers and ask for your attention that the Lord would bless the service. I'd like to write the subject on the board. I've written on the board, "Whom do you say that I am?" I was inspired with this message a couple of weeks ago and impressed to deliver it this morning. If you would turn with me to the 16th chapter of Matthew, I'd like to read starting in the 13th verse. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' And he said unto them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and he said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" You know that it would have been one thing just to have responded to his first question. It had been one thing if the Lord only asked one question of them and then let it go at that. When he said, who do men say that I am? Who do other people say that I am? But the Lord did not stop there. The Lord made it really personal. He made it personal to the disciples, and it's personal to us, because he went on and he said, with a much more pointed, personal question. He didn't even respond. He didn't even respond to what other people, the people out there, what they said. His response was a second question They got really close. And he said, but I hear what you're saying about who other people, those people out there, what they say. But who do you say that I am? And it is a question that is being answered by us every day by the conduct with which we live our lives. And it gets to the core. It gets to the very essence of our relationship with God. And further, where we're going to spend eternity, folks. Who is He to us, to you, personally? I remember in my young Christian experience, I've related this before, I had just moved out of the house. I was 18. Moved away to school. Met somebody. I think it was the first week I was there. We hooked up, just ran into each other and started talking. And I don't know how we got on the subject of spiritual things or religion. And we were talking, and all of a sudden he just stopped me with a bit of a startling, unexpected question. And with a look in his face like, this discussion may soon end because I've got you. He said, whoa, stop, hold on. Are you telling me these things just because your parents taught you this? Are you just telling me things that you grew up hearing in your home? Is this just what your church teaches? Are you sitting here talking to me just about what you hear at the church that you go to? Or do you believe this? Is this coming from your heart? He was not interested in hearing about somebody's experience that was being lived simply because some other person told them that's how they should live. He was not interested in hearing about a testimony from somebody that it was their testimony simply so that they could be accepted in whatever church family they were part of, in whatever community in the United States of America that they came from. He was searching, I found out much later. He wanted, like every other person, to find something that was personal and revealed by God. And all of us today, all that are here this morning, all that are in the world, have a need in their hearts. We desire, even when we don't know how to put it in words, we desire to get a hold of something, not from man, but from God and from His Spirit. And brothers and sisters today, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Who do we say that He is, really? Not how the devils feared and trembled and said, Thou art the Son of God. But who are we saying that He is? What are we saying that He is worthy of? as evidenced by the conduct of our daily living. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ. You are the Son of a God that is alive and is still living, and a God that's in heaven and is still looking for a people that believe from their hearts that He is a God worth living for. And the Lord is coming back for a people that believe from their hearts and live their lives in the midst of so many influences and so much pull and so much draw for the temporal, coming back for a people that live their lives with a daily testimony and conduct that Thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And He's coming back for a people that has been revealed to them by His very own Spirit. Not just told to them by their parents, which is good, it's needful. Not just because it's been taught to them in the chapel that they come to that was built by man's hands, which is needful and profitable. But God is coming back for a people that believe and that has been revealed to them in their hearts by His very own Spirit from heaven. Are we of that number? I want to be of that number. It is going to mean everything. Jesus replied to Peter and He said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. This didn't come by man. This didn't come by a philosophy that was man-derived. This declaration, this confession that you just offered up, it did not come by understanding that was achieved through works on your part, but this came by the very Spirit of God." And He said, "Thou art Peter, just as sure as your name is Peter, just as sure as your name means rock and stone, just as sure will I build my church on this true and unmoving confession that I am Christ, the Son of a living God, a confession that has been revealed by the Spirit of God." That is the church that Jesus Christ is coming back for. You understand? Jesus Christ is coming back for a people that have been in touch with His Spirit. Jesus Christ is coming back for a people, not that have spent their lives trying to follow just a set of rules. He's not coming back for a set of people that have just been associated with people that profess Jesus Christ, or that have a heritage, or that have some connection in their past to God-fearing people. But Jesus Christ is coming back for a church, a people that as individuals, not just collectively, but as individuals that have been in touch with Jesus Christ Himself by His Spirit. And He calls for us to be part of that number. In the midst of all of man's ideas and philosophy and reasons and justification and customization of Scripture. And why we should be able to live this way or that way. The Lord is coming back for a people who are dedicated to understanding what doth say the word of the Lord. And yet, we are so inclined. We are so geared to find our satisfaction and our fulfillment and our justification by flesh and blood. We seek to confirm and reconfirm and have revealed to us that we're living life, how we're supposed to be living life. By flesh and blood means so many times. And in fact, we resort to flesh and blood means to satisfy ourselves spiritually so often. Don't we? Isn't that a temptation that we can fall into? We look for approval of people. We seek the acceptance of the church. We look to justify our salvation by our works. And sadly, sometimes we judge and are willing to cast other people, spiritually speaking, to the curb by such means. May God have mercy on us. May we get a vision, capture a vision of really what it is that God is looking for in our lives and in our hearts. That we find Him to be a dear person to us with an ever-growing relationship. That when He comes back and He calls our name, which He will, that we can hear those words, "Well done." That we can hear Him tell His Father, "Father, this is one of mine. This person right here is one of mine. He's with me." The Father says, "Enter in to the joy of the Lord." It's going to mean everything. We are desperate for God to reveal to us, to give us a vision that goes beyond man. I want to find my experience in God and not just through people who profess God. Because that's what's going to be required of me. That I will have had a personal experience with God. Otherwise, my experience will be built on sand that is shifting and uncertain. A place where moth and rust doth corrupt. And where thieves break through and steal away even that which I thought I had. Man's teaching can be upended by another man's teaching. Philosophy can be replaced by updated, more enlightened philosophy. Religion can be pushed to the side and in its place taken up by an updated religion. But if I am able to get in contact with God by His Holy Spirit, there is nothing that can upend that and take its place in my life. And that will give me a sure foundation. Let's seek that above all else. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of heaven through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and His righteousness. And everything else will be added unto us. Folks, works will follow. They are not intended to lead. Works will follow if we have a relationship. God is looking for a people that where the works come as a result of what is down inside of us. It is not going to work for us to take works and strap them onto our tree with a zip tie and then point to the fruit and say, see this, therefore I must be that. I can't take an apple and core a hole through it and get a zip tie from Home Depot and stick it through the center and wrap it around my arm and do that over my whole body and have apples hanging off of me and then put a sign in front of me that says, I'm an apple tree. I'm not an apple tree. God wants me to get a hold of something that bears fruit from the root. Something that where Christ can be shared with somebody else, that can be grafted, can be used, can be applied to reach the root of other people's lives. But it is going to take us having a relationship with Jesus Christ that is revealed unto us by His Spirit. Is your belief this morning just based off of someone else's belief? Are you living like you're living today just because that's what the church has taught? Do you find justification in your own works? Or has the Spirit of God revealed to you what the salvation plan is really about? Has He revealed Himself to you in a way that causes us to say, oh Lord my God, have mercy on me. Lord, would You direct my steps? Lord, would You shine a light in my pathway? Lord, help me to follow. Help me to know. Help me, Lord, to give my heart to this way. Lord, help me to live in a way that demonstrates that I am living for You above all other things in life, even beyond the acceptance of man. Is that what we have? Did you know that's what the Lord wants every single one of us to have? He desires that we seek, we search, that we find a no-so salvation that comes from our heart. How do we do that? Be humble. Be humble, folks. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Be humble. Recognize your great need. Seek Jesus. Look up instead of within and out so much. We spend so much time focusing on ourselves. We spend so much time wondering, what do they think? And what does he think? And how am I fitting in with them? And we can be consumed with those things. How do we get a revelation from heaven? Look to heaven. How do we have a relationship with Jesus? Seek a relationship with Jesus. Give him time. Give him space in your life. Open your ears. Put yourself in a place where you can hear the word of the Lord instead of so much of the noise that is competing with the voice of God. He will not compete with it eventually. He will back off. But there will come a time when all of that noise will be silenced. There will come a day where there will be no noise and no influence from the world. And there will be no desire to be accepted by man. And there will come a day where there will be no place where we can feel justified by our own works. And there will come a day when an experience that is based on everything except being revealed by the Holy Spirit of God, there will come a day when all of those things will be silent. And every heart will be focused fully and completely on God the Father. And at that time of our lives, whichever one of us will face, at a time appointed not by us, but by God, when that time comes, the only thing that's going to matter, the only thing that is going to matter, is our relationship with God. A relationship that will have been or will not have been by our choosing, revealed by the Spirit of God. I want a genuine relationship with God. Jeremiah 18:2 says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." I'll read that again. Jeremiah 18:2 says, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there, at the potter's house, I'll cause you to hear not all of the things that may be appealing to the flesh and that are going to pass away and are temporal, but go to the potter's house, and there I'll cause thee to hear my words." But we have to make a choice to go to the potter's house. We have to make a choice on where we're going to go when we arise. Folks, we arise all the time in life for all kinds of things. Don't we? Every day we arise. And we go every day for something. What are we arising for? Where are we going? What's our What's our purpose in life? Who are we trying to make contact with? What is it that causes us to decide, to get up and to go? What is it that fuels us? What is it that causes a burn in our hearts and in our lives? What is it that lights our fire? What is it that fuels us? What are we living on? Oh, the Lord wants us to live on the bread of life. And so He says, arise. The potter's house is open for business. And it's open for you. And there's not a waiting line. You don't have to wait in a long line and not be sure if you're going to get in. You get up today. Rise. Go to the potter's house. And you can hear my words. Is that what we're doing? Or are we arising from a spiritual standpoint, finding justification in comparing ourselves to other people? Finding justification in our own works. This verse speaks of personal action needed. Go. You go to the potter's house. The place where you can meet Jesus. The place where life change happens. Go. Go when other people and things and places are calling. Go to the potter's house. Go to the foot of the cross. Go where Jesus offers life and inspiration. Go to the place where the Lord says, if you'll come, I will give unto you the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will teach you and lead you. Bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Go to the potter's house, where that Spirit can be found. And when we do that, when we hit that rock and have Spirit-inspired convictions, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The influences of the world, the reasoning of man, cannot prevail against an experience that is founded on Spirit-given divine inspiration that Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, a Christ that I am willing to give my life for and live for all the days of my life. Let's make matter what matters. Turn down the music. Turn down the noise. Turn away from the distractions. We are in a battle. There is a warfare that's taking on in the world today. Make no mistake. Your souls are being sought. We have to be willing to do battle. How do we do battle? Get in touch with Jesus. Live your life so that when He knocks on your door, you hear it. You open the door. And the Lord can come in and sit at your table and break the bread of life with you personally. Thank God. For it is that bread that gives life. Whom do you say that I am? May we give ourselves to the Lord in such a way that we from our hearts can say, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.